You can burn it in an engine just like you do gasoline or natural gas. And some people are doing that, but most people are using it in a fuel cell. And a fuel cell is kind of like a continuous battery. You keep supplying the fuel cell with hydrogen gas from a tank and oxygen from the air, and it produces clean electricity with no emissions and a little bit of heat and water along with it.
And so people may have heard about hydrogen cars or fuel cell cars. I mean, this is... It's not even electric. I mean, it's a completely different, it's almost not combustible engine that we typically think of.
You're right. Well, there are some combustion engine vehicles out there that do run on hydrogen, but the majority that you're hearing of are fuel cell vehicles. And fuel cells, since they put out electricity, are fuel cell vehicles are electric vehicles. They run on full electricity. And when you hear electric vehicles, most people only think of the battery vehicles.
Right,
but electric
hybrids.
Vehicles actually include battery vehicles and fuel cell vehicles. And in many cases, on the vehicle, you have both a battery and a fuel cell providing the electricity to the motor, which is what drives your wheels.
And from what I understand, one of the real challenges with hydrogen fuel cell vehicles is that the infrastructure isn't as around as, I mean, my goodness, there's a gas station on almost every corner as we're driving around. That's not necessarily true right now for hydrogen.
Well, that's somewhat true. We know how to build fueling stations. The technology's been around for decades, and we know how to do it really well. And just last year, we refueled the 210 hydrogen vehicles that were out there 11,000 times.
Wow.
But there are 130,000 gasoline stations right now or about there, and there are currently 60 operational hydrogen fueling stations in the U.S. So that is one of the things that we need to do is increase the number of stations. We need to increase the number of vehicles and stations in the same place at the same time, and that's what industry and work and government are working together on right now.
And the advantage here, I mean, well, first off, almost no pollution, right?
Well, from the vehicle, there's absolutely zero emissions. When you make the hydrogen, just like when you make gasoline or you make any other fuel, you make electricity. It depends on how you make it. If you make your hydrogen using renewable resources, there's probably going to be zero emissions from the very beginning of the process to the very end. But if you use something like natural gas, there might be a small amount of emissions or coal or something else. You have a variety of different ways that you can make hydrogen, just like there are a variety of different ways that you make electricity. So it depends on the choices that you make.
How far can you go on a hydrogen vehicle? I mean, is it one of these things where you can drive 1,000 miles or something, or not necessarily?
Well, just like the cars that you and I drive today, it depends on the amount of fuel that you have on board. So
yeah.
If you have a really, really large tank, you can drive a really, really long distance. But in general, your hydrogen vehicles today have the same range that gasoline vehicles do.
Okay. Well, there's a real government implication here because a government is, they buy so many vehicles, so they can help this happen in some form or fashion?
Well, you know, the government's role has been to help increase the adoption of new technologies. That's one of the roles that the government plays, and certainly that's important for hydrogen and fuel cells to be able to buy more products or buy the early products so that the companies can then use that revenue to improve the products and make them available to the general consumer. Right now, the government is not buying fuel cell vehicles because no one is actually selling them right now. The auto industry is planning to have them available for sale around 2015. Most automakers are developing hydrogen vehicles, and they agree on that time frame. So the hydrogen vehicles that the federal government is using today are pre-production vehicles, the vehicles that are basically in a demonstration or pre-commercial stage, and they're used by several agencies around the country.
And from what I understand, DOD is using fuel cells in stealth vehicles?
Yeah, well, fuel cells have a very low heat signature, and they're virtually silent. You know, just like a battery, they don't have any moving parts. So you can put them on a soldier or put them in a vehicle, and that vehicle will be very quiet, have lots of power, and can be refueled with hydrogen.
Wow. And DOT is using them in buses in some places, correct?
They are. In fact, buses are really important for getting the commercial stage of these vehicles underway because buses use a lot of fuel. Bus might use the same amount of fuel as maybe 6 or 7 different vehicles,
wow.
And they're in continuous service. So both the buses and the cars and SUVs are putting millions of miles on the road. In addition to the kinds of uses that the Department of Defense is using, and then the different kinds of vehicles, the cars and buses, you also have stationary power that's providing power to all kinds of facilities like the FAA, the National Park Service is using them, the Navy, the Weather Service, and then you also have applications for forklifts and warehouses. The Department of Defense moves around more goods than almost any other entity in the entire world, and they need lots of forklifts to be able to move those goods around.
Wow.
Well, hydrogen forklifts are emission-free, so you can operate them indoors, fuel them quickly, and they don't run out of power like a battery forklift would at the end of their shift.
So it seems like you said there are no production vehicles in place yet, and that it seems like this becomes a little bit like that chicken and the egg. No one's created the production vehicles until there's a market. There's no market until there are production vehicles. This seems like the area where government can play some kind of role.
It certainly is. Providing the incentives to help lower the cost of any of these initial products, just like hybrid vehicles. You know, I think some of those tax credits are still available. If you buy a hybrid vehicle, or at least in the early days, you got to write off $4,000 from your federal tax return. So there are incentives that can be put in place that Congress can help with, but also on the federal government side, helping to buy large numbers of fuel cells to provide power to buildings and emergency power to critical facilities like the National Weather Service and safety and police, hospitals, those kinds of things. And then also buying vehicles in large fleets where these fleets of vehicles can fuel at a central facility around the agency are great ways to jumpstart the industry. And it's going to really help to make sure that the technologies that are available to us as everyday consumers are more advanced and cheaper and obviously therefore affordable.
We're talking to Patrick Surface. He is with the National Hydrogen Association. We're talking about the use of hydrogen in transportation, but it's not just transportation. Hydrogen can be used in other ways too.
It sure can. You know, the biggest ways that hydrogen is used today is for industrial uses, making everything from literally peanut butter to rocket fuel. We use millions and millions of kilograms of it in the U.S. every year. But expanding the use of hydrogen from those industrial uses to be able to use it to power your vehicle, a bus, fuel cells, which make electricity that you can power everything from a cell phone to your neighborhood. There are tons of different applications, and each one of these different kinds of applications are at a different stage of commercial readiness. So while you might not be able to buy a vehicle today, you could buy a fuel cell, and there are lots of companies that are doing so.
And I know we have actually a hydrogen fuel station database. We're linking to that off of our website, which you guys have pulled together. Former DOT guy did a drive across country in a hydrogen vehicle, and they're actually he was shocked how many there are.
Yeah, well, we had in 2008, there were 210 hydrogen vehicles on the roads. We had about 9,000 different people driving those throughout the year, and they drove over 1 million miles. And on the hydrogen road tour that you're referring to, which the National Hydrogen Association helped to organize along with the DOT and several other industry groups, we drove the vehicles from Maine down to Georgia and then all the way across the country just to show how real this technology is. These are real vehicles that people can buy. What we need to do is to put more fueling stations in place so that it's convenient for someone to buy a vehicle and be able to fuel it in their neighborhood.
How long is this going to take? How long will it be before this actually happens?
Well, if you look at the stationary side, the fuel cells powering buildings and cell phone towers is a huge market right now. That's happening now. I know Sprint just made a big announcement about the hundreds of fuel cells that they're using to power cell phone towers.
Wow.
And the use of hydrogen for forklifts by the Defense Logistics Agency, companies like Walmart, Coca-Cola, lots of companies that you would recognize. That's commercial right now. That's at the early stages of commercial growth, and those are being bought and sold today. On the vehicle side, most automakers agree that they're aiming to put the vehicles out in 2015. Now, to have vehicles ready in 2015, you need to get the engineering going about 3 to 4 years ahead of that, so that's coming up in about a year or two, and you need to build the fueling stations a couple years before that. So that's the stage that the industry's in right now, getting well coordinated to build more fueling stations in the places where the vehicles are going to be first introduced. And in most cases, that's in four places: Southern California, Northern California, New York, and Washington, D.C.
And government, at least from what I've seen, playing a fairly significant role in all of this.
Absolutely. The federal government has an incredible opportunity here at the early stage to be able to enable the adoption of fuel cell vehicles, because government would want to have emission-free vehicles, and they're fantastic vehicles. So why not have federal agencies buy fleets of vehicles, or at least lease the fleets of vehicles, so you have a number of vehicles that are all traveling around one particular area, and that means you only need a couple fueling stations. So just from the very beginning, with maybe one or two fueling stations at one location, you can service dozens of different vehicles, even hundreds of vehicles at that one location. And from there, you can expand the infrastructure in a cluster that then includes general consumers and other people who might want to buy vehicles in that area. Then you connect those clusters with other clusters, and soon you've got a nationwide network.